This is KZSU 90.1 FM, and you are listening to the show Hi Kifak Safa with your DJ Ramsey. We come to you every Thursday from 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and this is the second episode of my show. We started a little bit early here today, but we're so delighted to be here on this beautiful California afternoon. It's a beautiful weather outside here at Stanford University. And this show, Hi Kifak Safa, attempts to kind of bring you music that centers on Lebanon, but that kind of covers the whole region and the whole, all of the Arab world, and attempts to intersect and dissect music in English, Arabic, and French. The show comes to you every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m., and we stream live, as usual, at kzsulive.stanford.edu. And before I say anything else, let me just ask you, how are you? Hi, Kifak, ça va?
Hi, Kifak, ça va?
Hi, ça va?
Hi, Kifak, ça va?
Kifak, وعلى العين مليتين ومن تعش مليا جسر الحديد انقطع من دوس رجليا وعلى العين مليتين ومن تعش مليا جسر الحديد انقطع من دوس رجليا كلن عم يبكولي شي عم يبكي من القلة وشي عم يقبولي إذا بتلاقولو نحلي يا ناس قولولي أحسن ما بكرة الفلة كلا تطلع فيا وعلى عين موليتين 18 مولايا جسر الحديد انقطع من دوس رجليا على عين موليتين بصير علماني العالم ماشي لقدام وعم نمشي خليفاني قصتنا بدها دكتور تحليل نفساني يحكمنا من هالعلة ويخفف هم عليا وعلى عين موليتين 18 مولايا جسر الحديد
Are you prepared for a disaster? Do you have an emergency kit with food, water, blankets, and a flashlight? Do you know how to shut off the gas in your home or how to use a fire extinguisher? Prepare.org is a service of the American Red Cross with information on how to protect yourself and your family in a variety of situations. To find out how you can be prepared, log on to www.prepare.org.
And the show is Hi Ki Fak Sava. I'm your DJ Ramsey with you this Thursday and every Thursday from 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And what a show I have for you today. If you tuned into my premiere last week, you must have heard the name Tanya Saleh being mentioned at least 20 times. Well, I promised you an exclusive interview with Tanya Saleh. And that interview I did conduct this summer. And it was absolutely amazing to meet her there in Beirut by the Mediterranean, where she very, very kindly agreed to an interview with me. So I wanted to say that thank you to Tanya, and I would like you all to know that you are in for a treat, because we have an exclusive interview with Tanya Saleh coming up on today's show. We'll be playing some tracks from her latest album, Wahde, an album which, by the way, top the World Play charts at KZSU back in the spring, and certainly that was something that delighted Tanya. We also will have a ticket giveaway during the show to a very surprising event, so stay tuned for that. I'll let you know when and where to call when we get to the contest. But before I go anywhere with Tanya Saleh or her brilliant career, I have to tell you that this show also has a very special guest today. A guest who normally is tunes in from all the way in the Middle East and has been a faithful listener for many, many months. He's actually, ladies and gentlemen, in the studio in the flesh. I think I'm going to let him introduce himself. Welcome to KZSU and welcome to California.
Hi.
You are?
I am Ahmed Q.
You are the Ahmed Q.
Yeah, in flesh.
Ahmed Q in the flesh. Wow. Yeah. It is. And it's very, very odd to be having Ahmed Q in the flesh, because you were reporting for Hi Ki Fak Sava in the previous months. From where?
From Amman, Jordan.
And I always wondered, like, the show goes from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. here. What time was it over there?
It was around 2 a.m. till 4 a.m.
And you would wake up at 2 a.m. to talk to our listeners.
I didn't even miss one episode there.
Wow. So, Ahmed, is this your first time in California?
Yeah, that was my first time.
And how do you like California so far?
I just love it. It's so friendly. It feels like home.
Really?
Yeah, it does.
California feels like Amman.
Yeah, it's so friendly here and easy to adapt to. So that's why it feels so comfortable for me.
That's wonderful. And what are your impressions of Stanford University so far?
Wow, what a university. It's so, so great.
Really?
Yeah, so great to be here.
It's too bad you guys can't see him, but he's wearing the Stanford colors today.
Yeah, the red and white.
Yeah, it's a very, so you're already into the...
I'm already adapting, I told you.
Have you watched your first game yet?
Not yet. I am really excited to do so.
Good. Of course, you can't be at Stanford and watch a game. And the state of affairs in Amman, Jordan has been good, as according to, at least the news we hear over here, things are going well in Jordan.
Very well, yeah. And, very stable there.
Yeah, it's a stable country. The music scene that you always talk about, does it include the name Tanya Saleh?
Well, Tanya Saleh is everywhere. She's such an international singer. Nobody just considers her as a Lebanese or just an Arab. She's worldwide well-known.
She belongs to everyone.
She belongs to everyone, yeah.
Wow. And how did you first discover Tanya Saleh?
Through your show, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And I started to listen to her through your show. And I just love her. I just love her. I have her CD, and the cover is signed from her with the dedication, and I listen to her almost daily.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And what's the title of the CD? Do you remember?
Wahde.
Wahde, which means what?
It means unity. But if you read it some other way, you can say Wahde.
Which means?
a girl or a woman.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really impressed that you knew that, Ahmad, because that's precisely, I think, what's going on with the title of this
track. Yeah, some kind of controversy.
And frankly, what better way to explain that and many other things about this fantastic album, Wehde, by Lebanese singer Tanya Saleh, than to have Tanya speak about it herself. I have to tell you, Ahmad, one of the highlights of my summer was being in Beirut, Lebanon.
Yeah.
And there I met Tanya Saleh, and she agreed to conduct this interview with me. There was a lot of traffic noise, so you're going to hear occasional, you know, cars beeping. Beirut is not exactly the quietest city.
Yeah, it's so crazy there.
Have you been?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes,
yeah.
Almost 2 months ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't happen to catch Tanya Saleh in concert.
I wish if I did.
Because when we recorded this interview, she had it was a couple of months ago now,
yeah.
And her album was just released, and she was touring. And at the time, the album had topped the airplay charts, the world airplay charts here at KZSU,
wow.
And was getting a lot of airplay around radio stations, mostly college radio stations.
Wow.
And I got to listen to her, and I got to hear her opinion about the American response to her album and many other things. So what do you think, Ahmad? Shall we kick back and listen to some of that interview?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so okay. Here we go. Ahmad Q, thank you for being in the
studio.
Thank
you, sir.
You said in the flesh, so yeah. Thank you for being here. It's a lot more fun to talk to you
yeah, finally.
Person. Yeah, finally. I can't believe it. He's in three dimensions. He exists. You actually exist.
Same time and same place.
I thought you might have been a robotic voice from the Middle East, you know, being chimed in, but there's flesh and there's blood there, I guess.
No, it's not like that.
It's not like that. Okay, so we'll be back to talk to Ahmad and to play some more music after we listen to the first segment of my exclusive interview with Tanya Saleh. And that interview was conducted a couple of months ago in Beirut, Lebanon. We met at a place, at a quiet little place, well, as quiet as you can find in a busy city like Beirut, where Tanya spoke about her album, her hopes for the future, her thoughts on the politics that govern Lebanon, music, art, and much more. Here's the first segment of my exclusive interview with Tanya Saleh here on the High Kifak of our show with DJ Ramsey, coming to you live from Stanford, KZSU 90.1 FM, Stanford. Enjoy. I'm sitting here on this wonderful evening in Beirut with Tanya Saleh, whose album Wehde has been topping the airplay charts here at KZSU 90.1 FM. Tanya has kindly agreed to do a brief interview with us here for our listeners. I'm sitting with her as we enjoy some Lebanese treats here at a place called
Time Out,
which is a very sort of special place because it's outside and it's quiet and it's very beautiful. Thank you, Tanya, for coming to the studio.
Thank you, Ramzi, for having me, and thank you for helping me get heard in the States. I really appreciate that a lot. And I thought we'd come here because it's a calm place and you would see some trees as opposed to all the cars outside.
Absolutely. It's very, we came a little early and enjoyed the ambiance. But I'm going to get right to the questions, Tanya, because how does it feel like to know that your album is not just getting airplay on college radio, but is actually topping the airplay charts at Stanford and at other universities? Is this surprising to you, or did you sort of expect this kind of reaction from college radio in the United States?
No, I didn't expect it at all. I mean, I expected the album to be heard and to be liked, but not to be topping the charts, because I'm wondering how they are being able to understand the lyrics. But as you tell me, with a little explanation of what the song is about, then it'll help. But I'm really honored and I'm very happy, because like I told you before, I really love the American people. I find them very nice people, very friendly people, and very smart. So I'm really honored by that.
Well, one of the things that we encountered in terms of categorization, because as a radio station, they're always looking to categorize things. It was very difficult to categorize your album. And finally, I said, just put it under world music, because that's a very open thing. But what kind of music would you define this? Is it's kind of jazzy, it's Arabic, it's Oriental, it's Western, it's fusion, it's romantic, it's angry. Do you have a way to describe the album to listeners in the
the West who may not be familiar with traditional genres?
Yeah, I understand your question, and I understand the need to label things, but for me it's always the hardest question to ask. So, because I like to experiment in many things, that's why you listen to many genres when you listen to the songs. But I like to stay an alternative musician, because in that way you can experiment and you can be just not the mainstream kind of music and not fall under any specific label, rock, jazz, or funk, or anything, or even traditional Arabic, because it's none of the above.
And so if we talk about underground, alternative, maybe Lebanese music, a lot of people in the West are surprised that there is such a thing. I mean, when they think of Arabic music, if they think of it at all, or music in Arabic, they're thinking of the, you know, sort of main icons like Nancy Ajram and Amr Diab. But they're always surprised that the underground or the alternative Lebanese music scene is so vibrant. You, Tania Saleh, are one of the few artists who are getting, you know, exposure at much deserved exposure at long last. But how do you feel about the way the alternative music scene is shaping up in Beirut or in Lebanon in general?
I love the fact that now we have many alternative bands who are starting their own identity, because with the growth of the internet and how people are connecting these days, well, they don't see the mainstream artists anymore as much as the production companies would like to. Now people are viewing what they want to see and hearing what they want to hear. And it makes me happy to see views on YouTube, for example, for Mashroa Leila or for Rais Beg or for myself, as much as it is. I mean, it's really very good to hear that the young people are now being geared to a different kind of... I mean, they should have choices. I don't like to say that mainstream artists are good or not good. It's not me who judges, but I think that the variety is extremely important, because people need that. I mean, you can't listen to the same kind of music, you can't see the same kind of beauty, you need variety.
Absolutely, and I think this is why your album, Wehde, seems to be so innovative and very sort of different than anything we've heard in terms of even alternative, you know, Lebanese music. Is the music composed? Who composes? Who writes? Who creates the in your artistic journey?
Well, in the first album, it was many people who contributed to the compositions. But in this album, I worked with a band of three people, a bass player, a guitarist, and a drummer. And we all work on the music together as a band. And I wrote the lyrics because I thought that it would be easier to express my own feelings and, emotions or the things that I want to talk about. I would be expressing myself better than to just buy, lyrics. So to me, it's important that people like Rais Beg and Mashroa Leila, I mention them because I respect the ability of they have for songwriting as well, which is what we need. I mean, we don't want to give the image that the Arab world is only... they don't think or they don't have wit or they are not aware of what's happening. It's important that we write our own songs to express our own views about the world. So I think it's positive. I mean, the way I see it, we're going to be stronger and stronger because of the growth of the internet. Like I said before, it's important to be able to find platforms for our music and to be able to find people like you who like it and promote it. This part of the equation is extremely important for our growth, and gladly it's there.
Well, the lyrics, I mean, of Wehde, because I speak Arabic, I mean, touch me in a different way maybe than somebody who doesn't. But even people who don't understand the lyrics, once you explain the song to them, are able to relate to it. The writing of these lyrics must come from some kind of personal experience or venture. Wehde, for example, is a very... difficult track to digest at first because it functions on so many levels. By difficult, I mean problematic in a good way. Could you explain a little bit to our listeners in California that how the song could function either as a romantic song or as a maybe a satire, also as a political commentary on Lebanon, just briefly, because I don't think people really understand what the term wahde could mean.
Yeah, the term wahde means three different things, or maybe four or five, I don't know, but in this song it's mainly three meanings. It's wahde means a girl, just any girl, and it also means national unity, and it also means loneliness.
Right.
So this word means the opposite of itself. It's very weird. So I thought that in the beginning, of when I wrote the song, I thought this word is extremely interesting. How can I build around it enough imagery so that I give it its worth? So I thought first of me as an Arab woman who lives in this male chauvinistic, I mean, mainly male, I don't mean that all males are like that, but it's the majority of males are, you know, macho, and they want to be decision makers, and there is no partnership in the equation. Men are there to just, you know, give orders, and women are there to receive in most of the cases. And women have been raised like this for a long time. And most of the women I know who have grown up men who need to get married, they would advise them to find a nice girl, you know, a Lebanese girl who would understand them and who would cook for them and who would be, a child in their arms and do what they want. So the song came from that insight too, of like a woman asking her child or her son to find the right woman. And if we think of Lebanon as a small country in the middle of this big Arab world, and in the middle of this region with all those different equations going on and it trying to survive along the line, so I thought that maybe also Lebanon is this son of this woman who needs to know which woman he wants to choose, because we have many possibilities. We can choose to be in an Arab unity, we can choose the European unity, we can choose the Mediterranean unity, we can choose anything, but in the beginning we have to choose our own national unity to be able to stand as a nation, because we don't have that yet. I mean, after the war, we've been tormented a lot, and we've been into a lot of pressure from many global powers that we didn't really have any identity. Even our flag has been improvised very quickly, you know. I mean, we never had a government of national unity in the real sense, where people were working as a team to make this country grow. We never had that. And we always had this dream. So this is a bit what the song is trying to explain. And it's the Lebanese have identified with it because it's an insight that they have been grown to hear about. And even the Arab world also found this insight interesting, because they also found at a point that they were not having this national unity, and they found that they were under a lot of governments where things were imposed on them, and they didn't really have a say. So it also worked on that level too. And I'm glad to hear that in the States people are liking it.
في وحدي وطني بنت عيلة وبنت حلال، وفي وحدي عربي اللهوي عراس الشام، أي وحدة بدك ترحم عليك تتحملها وتتحملك بتربيها ايديك ملكي هي وانت الملك
Tanya Saleh singing her hit Wehde, which is also the title of her latest album called Wehde. Before that, we had listened to a segment from an interview that I conducted exclusively with Tanya Saleh, which was recorded this summer in Beirut, Lebanon, and in which Tanya very kindly and graciously agreed to be interviewed and speak about different aspects of her life, her art, her work, and the state of affairs in Lebanon. Thank you, Tanya, for doing that for us. I hope you guys have been enjoying the songs from Tanya Saleh's album Wehde. And we also, as I said, have a very special show, because later on in the show we're going to be giving away tickets to a very special performance. We also, and as if that were not enough, we also have in the studio with us a very special guest, Ahmad Q, who in a minute will be saying his usual greeting. Ahmad Q, usually a resident of Jordan, is actually in the flesh in California. We'll be hearing from him in a little while. In the meantime, Auguste Rodin, the most famous sculptor of his day, not only appealed to sophisticated American collectors, but also had a profound influence on American artists, beginning in the 1890s and continuing for decades after Rodin's death in 1917. The Cantor Arts Center presents Rodin and America, Influence and Adaptation, 1876 to 1936, now through New Year's Day. Admission to the Cantor Arts Center is always free. Visit museum.stanford.edu for more info. The show is Hi Kifak Sava. I'm your DJ Ramsey with you every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we are streaming live at kzsulive.stanford.edu. To tell you also that you can check the title of the songs I'm playing, especially if the titles sound foreign or weird to you, you can always check check the spelling of the songs or the artist by going to kzsu.stanford.edu, checking out what's on the air, or going to zookeeper.stanford.edu to get the playlists and other information about DJs, etc. So check the both websites, and thank you for listening on this beautiful Thursday afternoon in California. Before I go on with my exclusive interview with Tanya Saleh, it is time to greet our guest, who honestly is one of the most loyal listeners to this show. Was listening in Amman, Jordan for many months and is actually for the first time here in California in the flesh. Ahmed Q, marhaba.
Ahlan, ahlan.
So, Ahmed, you wanted to sort of maybe, well, I mean, promote the show by saying its name?
Hi, Kifak, Sava.
Very nicely put. And what does that mean?
Hi, in English, it means, how are you? Hi, it says like a greeting word. And Kifak in Arabic, it means, how are you? Sava, it means, are you okay? Are you fine? In
Perfect.
French, yeah.
I couldn't have put it better myself.
Yeah.
Ahmed, is that a greeting that's actually popular all over the Arab world, or is it sort of more of a Lebanese
it's
greeting?
It's more like a Lebanese.
So how would a typical Jordanian say hello?
Marhaba.
Marhaba. That's mm-hmm. pretty generic.
Yeah, it's generic.
It's generic.
Marhaba.
Isn't there some kind of, you know, you're how old are you, Ahmed, if you mind if I ask?
I'm 26.
Okay, 26. You're a hip young guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still, yeah.
And so what's the hippest way of saying yo in Jordan? Like my, you know, I'm an old, you know, person here. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, well, marhaba shabab.
Marhaba shabab.
Yeah.
What's shabab mean?
Shabab means you, young people.
Oh, so that's equivalent to like yo.
Yo. Yeah. How are you? Like,
wow,
yeah.
Wow.
But usually I say hi to my friends.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't say kifak or sabah?
No.
Not unless they're Lebanese.
No, I'm not a Lebanese.
Good. And so, Ahmed, we've been listening to the interview by Tanya Saleh, and you had mentioned that you had heard about her a lot.
Yep.
Is this the case for most Jordanians? Do you think they've heard of her in general, or is she more of an alternative artist that...
Well, after I started to know more about Tanya Saleh and I told my friends about her, I knew and I found out that they already know about her and they listen to her all the time. And I was shocked to know how late I was in listening to her songs and how stunning she was and still...
And still is, we have to say.
Yeah.
Yes. Ahmed, before I go on to... play the second segment of my interview with Tanya Saleh. I know you wanted to say a quick, what is it, a shout out, a quick marhaba to family and friends or something. I'm going to leave it up to you to do what you will.
Well, I want to say salam alaikum and how are you people there in Jordan? Everybody listens to me right now, family, friends, everybody in Amman, especially in my area, Bayader. I miss you all and this is KZSU. Hi, Kifak Sava. I miss you guys.
Wow, very nicely put. So I hope they're listening. And of course, they could, they're probably not listening on the air. I don't think our signal reaches Jordan. But they should be listening, or they could be listening at kzsulive.stanford.edu. Ahmed Q, what a pleasure it is to have you in the studio. This is really a unique experience, considering the fact that you used to call in from the Middle East and give us the what we called the Ahmed Q report.
Yeah, exactly.
How does it feel different to be in the studio here in person?
Well, it's very different. I miss those days. I used to be like very active, searching for songs, reporting things, you know. But now I'm in the flesh here, and I'm distant from Amman and Jordan. I have to find more about it remotely, you know. But it's so exciting here.
And not to put you on the spot, but KZSU, does it live up to it's your expectations? How have you found the studio?
Well,
the,
it's very friendly. Here? It's very calm here. I love it.
I keep telling you, this is my safe haven from the world.
It's so cozy here.
It is. Well, I'm glad you're feeling at home, KZSU 90.1 FM. We aim to please, you know. Anyway, so Ahmed, I think we'll leave the listeners with the second part of my interview with Tanya Saleh. She had just answered a question about, you know, her song Wehde, and she touched on several issues. So I'm going to leave it up to her to discuss the significance of her album and the significance of her role as a female singer in Lebanon, a war-torn country that has been experiencing periodic piece, and hopefully a lasting piece is in the works as well. Tanya Saleh and my interview with her took place in Beirut, Lebanon, over the summer. So this is about, what, a couple of months old. Not too many things have changed, but here is what she had to say.
Yes, but you touched on two points, I think, in your answer. One of them is women's issues and women's rights, because I think that certainly does play into the track, and I'd like to talk about that in a second. But in terms of the political aspect of the Lebanese, political spectrum that Lebanon is going through now, or this search for an identity, you've been pretty vocal about being anti-sectarian. You're against this kind of system that where sect matters, or you vote according to that. How problematic is that for you? I mean, when you look at Lebanon and you look at what's going on, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the outcome of the change? I mean, changes are happening, but I don't think those of us in the West really understand or know, especially in terms of the revolts going around in the region. Many people wonder why the Lebanese aren't rising up. But at the same time, I see quite a bit of subversive thoughts coming out in music, in poetry, in writing.
Yeah.
Would you care to comment on that a little bit for us?
Well, in the Arab world, it's been a long time. I mean, there's been dictatorships in most of the countries that are close to us, and they have been there for more than 30 years. So their problem is with the dictator. They need to solve that before they get to other issues. But in Lebanon, we don't have this problem. On the other hand, we have many things that derive from the sectarian problem. I mean, like you said, in Lebanon we don't vote according to the credentials of a certain person. We vote according to their religious sect, and not even their religion. So it implies that the people are driven by their emotions and by their instincts, which is not really very smart. I mean, if a country needs to stand on its own, it doesn't need to be driven by emotions. It needs to be driven by a government that really is a technocrat government, who really works for the... I mean, each person is in his or her place for a reason, not because they are of a certain religion. So this didn't happen. And if we have to revolt, we have to revolt against this kind of regime where the electoral system is set in a way where there is no way out. I mean, if I want to vote, I don't have another leeway. I mean, I need to vote for this person or the other, and I don't. In most of the cases, I don't find anyone to vote for, so I don't vote. So people like me are growing in numbers in Lebanon, and I find that it's going to take quite a long time to be able to really dismantle, we can say, dismantle this power, because what we need to do is us, the people who have children, need to start educating their children to have a different mindset. On that level, I mean, I don't see hope coming out of this current generation, because they're already brainwashed, and they're already, I mean, if they are not sectarian, they have different divisions. If not sectarian, there are divisions that have to do with the certain education that one has. I mean, if you had been educated as a English-speaking person, you would not get along with the French-speaking person, or you would not get along with the people who have been raised under the Russian communist socialistic kind of thinking. So there's many, and there's also the American-driven, the people who are driven by the American politics, or the people who support Israel versus the people who support the Arab cause. I mean, there's many, many divisions. So this is where the hard problem starts to, emerge. We don't have a dictator, but we have many divisions that we need to unify into one unity.
And the next generation, inshallah.
And the next generation is my hope. I would always be walking in those marches against sectarianism. I will never stop. But I would also try to convince all the people that I know, the parents that I know, to start to, plant the seed in their children. Because the only way we can get better is by changing the way we think and trying to influence our children in a different way.
And the other point you brought up, Tanya, is that in a way your album and your life in general sort of broaches women's issues. And you spoke sort of universally about misogyny, maybe, you know, this kind of masculine empowerment, entitlement that we see all over the world in patriarchal systems, but also maybe more specifically in the Arab world and in Lebanon. Do you identify as a feminist in any way, or do you stay away from that term?
I'd like to stay away from that term, because most of the feminists that I know have a problem with men. I don't have a problem with men. I like men. I like men and I respect men a lot, and I find it's nice to have the femininity and it's nice to have the masculinity part. But what I don't understand in the Lebanese, most Lebanese men's mentality, is the fact that they don't want partnership. And to me, there should be a partnership in a couple, and no one should be giving orders, not the woman or the man. So the problem is that most of the time it's the man who, you know, makes the rules, and the woman does only what the man wants. So there's many things that are not expressed, many emotions that come from the feminine part of the society that is not expressed. And there's a problem, because many girls that I know have been most of the time oppressed by their father, because they didn't, the father didn't want them to have a certain education. Maybe, for example, the father doesn't want his girl in this society to become a dancer or a singer or to become a social activist or to become even a police girl. Or, I mean, there's certain things, certain taboos that we should overcome to be able to be a balanced society between its females and its males. And I think that we are much better than our neighbors in the Arab world, but we still have a lot more to say and to... I mean, look at us in our parliament. There's 4 or 5 women, and most of them don't do anything because they are either the daughter or the sister or the mother of someone. But they are not there because they are expressing something and they have a say. No, this is a problem. I mean, you don't have women who really speak for you in the parliament, so we're still very far from getting there, but I have hope.
I really do like what you say about the partnership and the equality of the sexes, different but equal. But and that kind of enables me to segue a little bit into the tracks, which is what I really wanted to ask you about, because I wanted to sort of single out some of the tracks on the album and get your reaction, not necessarily an answer, but a reaction. And the way the masculine-feminine dynamic functions in some of the songs is very innovative, it's very new, where maybe it is the masculine, the male character, who's more vulnerable. I'm thinking specifically about the song Shu, where, I've said this to our listeners many times, this is a song where a man is speaking to his partner, his wife or his partner, and he feels she's being unfaithful to him, and he's kind of torn between anger and love, and he feels jilted and rejected. But it's such a powerful song, because the whole theme of this kind of infidelity is new to Arabic music, and the kind of somber and haunting vocals you have with that song is very disturbing, deliberately so. How controversial has that song been, and how correct am I in assuming that this is a really poignant commentary on an issue that normally is not discussed?
Well, this song, I don't know why, but for a certain reason, I always write in a way that expresses two different meanings. This song in particular, I was trying to express this infidelity thing that you are talking about. I mean, I was thinking, what would my partner be thinking about if I even think of having a relationship with someone else, even thinking it? So this was the first level of understanding the song. But the real thing that made me write the song is that I thought that my partner was jealous, not of another man, but my partner was jealous of my work. Mm-hmm. And my work is this other opponent that he was trying to,
conquer.
cover or, you know, kill at the end. He says, I always wanted to kill this guy. So to me, as a person, I'm telling you honestly, this was the case. I mean, it was not another man.
It
is another man in other cases, which is great for the song. I mean, I'm sure that many men think like that if they suspect that their partner is thinking of something, you know, they would feel that.
It was also the male being vulnerable and wanting her despite this alleged infidelity. And usually we hear maybe more female or women singers kind of, you know, be clutching to the man, and he's the one who's cheating and they want him.
Mm.
This was the man sort of beseeching the
woman.
It's
important.
And I think that's pretty new to show the
man
as vulnerable
and
wanting that kind of same traditionally feminine.
Yes, it's important, Ramzi, for our society, because I see around me many women who are suffering from particularly the infidelity of men. So I wanted to show the opposite so that they feel better, you know. And maybe there's another song that I wrote also because I felt that women should be feeling better about themselves, you know, which is the track number 3, which is called Rah al Hub. It says, love is gone. But okay, love is gone. So okay, we will cry and whine and lament. And then what? We need to do something about it. We need to stop crying and start anew. That's
so
what we need to do.
It's not so pessimistic, this song.
No,
it's not about there is no more love. It's about love is gone, but can be sort of regained in different ways.
Yes, and this is what I really believe. I mean, if love is gone once, it shouldn't be gone for a long time. I mean, it should come back somehow.
And that is only one of the controversial, or quote-unquote controversial tracks on the album. The other one that I think of, which is so catchy that even most mainstream American audiences are singing it, is Omar and Ali. And I don't think people quite, I mean, they love the beat and it's very addicting and people are singing it. But once they understand what Omar and Ali represent, it gains on a whole new dimension. Can you explain to us who Omar and Ali are and how they function in opposition yet should be espoused to each other, perhaps?
A friend of mine once told me it would be nice to do a video clip with a gay couple where you see Omar and Ali as a gay couple who are in love but are fighting for a reason. But to me, I wrote the song because I felt that in the Arab world there's a big force that is the Muslim religion, the Islamic religion. And it's most of the people are from, I mean, most of the population is Muslim. And this Muslim world is split in two. In the world, there are countries who are Sunni Muslims and other countries who are Shia Muslims. But they have the same religion, but they have different shores in the religion that they need to be doing according to a certain fatwa. So when I think of myself as a person who has grown up in Lebanon and who has had parents from these two different Muslim sects, I think that, okay, I'm in the middle of this battle and I have nothing to do with it. I mean, I didn't choose to be Muslim, or I didn't choose to have this father or mother, but I grew up this way, and I found that there is no reason why they shouldn't be getting along, especially that in Iraq and in many other places like Bahrain now and many countries in the world, they are fighting and they are killing each other, and there's blood, and there's it will take a long, long time to heal. Why?
Speaking about Sunnis and Shia.
Sunnis and Shia in certain countries.
Yes.
Why are they fighting? Because they have no reason to fight if they have the same religion as, the same prophet as they want, and the same kind of way of life, the same. The only things in difference that they have are the names that they choose for their children.
يا عمر كلم عليه قوم وقف سلم عليه جاي من آخر دني وقفله مرة شو عليه يا علي كلم عمر واقف ومادد إيديه قرب فشخة يا علي قرب
واللعبة لعبة كبيرة بدك تلعب يا عمر لازم تلعب مع علي يا علي بلا ولولة يا عمر بلا مرجلة
This is KZSU 90.1 FM coming to you from Stanford on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. The show is Hi, Kifak Safa. I'm your DJ Ramsey coming to you this Thursday and every Thursday from 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. We've been listening to selections of songs from Tanya Saleh and her album Wehde. Lebanese singer Tanya Saleh has released two albums so far. Her second album, her latest one, Wehde, was the buzz of the town in Beirut, Lebanon. This summer, and I happened to be there, and I happened to I managed to get an interview with her. She so graciously agreed to meet with me and speak to me and to our KZSU listeners about the state of Lebanese music and how her genre of music is slowly gaining a little bit of a mainstream acceptance, at least in Lebanon. The album, of course, has been getting a lot of airplay not only in Lebanon but all over the Middle East, and through KZSU and other college radio stations, is getting airplay in the United States as well. The album Wehde, Wehde, is one of the masterpieces of Arabic music, in my opinion. It is one of the most innovative and creative albums that I've heard. Tanya Saleh's vocals are legendary, and that is no small feat for a region in the world that produced such greats as Umm Kulthum and Fairuz. Afro Solo Theater Company presents its 18th annual Afro Solo Arts Festival now through October 20th. This year's theme, United in Peace 2, promotes the power of peace through panel discussions, live performances, and the visual arts. Festival events take place at various venues around San Francisco, and most are free. For more information, call 415-771-AFRO or visit www.afrosolo.org. The show is Hi Kifak Sava. I'm your DJ Ramsey. I'll be with you until 6 p.m. today. And before I go anywhere else, I wanted to make sure to tell everybody out there to stay tuned for the Songsmith Show with MC Dizzy Jackson. That wonderful show comes after mine. I'm so honored to be to let you know at least that this show is coming up. The show, the Songsmith Show, comes to you every Thursday from 6 until 9 p.m. So that's immediately following my show with MC Dizzy Jackson. The Songsmith Show presents creators and interpreters of finely crafted music. Tune in for an eclectic mix of most American genres and genres genre blends, as well as the occasional oral oddity. And that show comes to you here on KZSU 90.1 FM. We are also streaming live at kzsulive.stanford.edu. I also wanted to remind everybody that in the second hour of my show, which is in about 5 minutes, we'll be in the second hour of my show, and we will be giving away tickets to a wonderful creative performance. So stay tuned for details about that. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, Ahmed Q is still in the studio. Ahmed, hello.
Hi, DJ Ramsey.
So, Ahmed, you used to listen to the show streaming through the internet.
Yes.
In Amman, Jordan.
Exactly.
And I'm not sure if you had some kind of a mental image of the studio or the Stanford and having not visited here before. So my question to you, Ahmed, does it live up to your expectations? Is what's different, and what is do something surpass your imagination, and are some things just very different?
Well, it's much, much better than what I thought. It's so huge here. It's so organized. It's so clean. It's so neat, you know. And I believe that it has exceeded my expectations.
Good, good. Yeah. And the weather?
The weather is so, it's so like Mediterranean.
So it's pretty much like Jordanian weather?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you've been enjoying the interview with Tanya Saleh?
Yeah.
Anything that she said that sort of stood out for you?
Well, what I like about Tanya Saleh, that her lyrics is so deep. It's so controversial. So if anybody listened to the song, he might think that it means that or it means this. But it's so deep. And at the end of the road, it has like some positive meaning, and it has some aim. Not like any other song, you know?
Right, right. And I think that's really, you hit the nail on the head when you said that, Ahmed, because I think her whole album functions on many levels. It sounds like a romantic album, but there's a lot of political sort of
nobody knows
and that's what makes it interesting, because I think we're getting kind of, I don't know about you, Ahmed, but we're getting a little bit sick, I think, of these pop singers coming from the Arab world who repeat the same Habibi, Bahibak, Bahibak, Habibi.
Exactly. It sounds like so abstract song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of that, who are your faves? Who are your favorite singers currently? I know you're kind of difficult to predict, Ahmed. Mm-hmm. Because you like some classics, classical Arabic music, or what I would refer to as grand Arabic music, and then you kind of like the very new stuff as well. Where are you on the musical spectrum?
Well, I love the hits in general. Fairuz, Umm Kulthum, Abdul Halim.
Those are, I mean, they were
nobody
around
can
before
deny
you
them.
Were born, right?
Nobody can deny them.
So your generation is still listening to them?
Yes, still.
In their 20s?
Still.
And how about making us a little more hip here and telling me about some of the newer artists that you like or that they're listening to in Jordan?
In Jordan, usually I listen to Nancy Ajram, Tamer Hosni, Sam Hossein, for example.
Sam Hossein?
Yeah, Sam Hossein.
Okay. That's a male singer?
He's a Syrian singer.
From Syria, great.
Yeah.
And who else?
Well, there's one new singer. Her name is Amal Murqus. She's also an actress, actually. And she appeared in films and in series, in many contests also. And she was also nominated to be an Oscar winner. And she was also picked as the best actress at the Haifa Theater Festival.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she's not only a singer, she's also
not
an
only
actress.
A singer. Yeah.
Wow. So Amal Murqus, and we happen to have an Amal Murqus song.
Oh, great.
Right here. Can you tell me a little bit about the album and the title of the song there, Ahmed? Maybe take a quick look at the CD for me, would you?
Well, there's this new album I'm fond of. I don't know if you have it. It's named
Well,
Baghani.
We do. We actually have it
do
here
you?
At KZSU. Yes.
It's the album name is Baghani.
Baghani, what does that mean?
I'm singing.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, there's one song. I don't know if you have it or not, but I wish if you do. It's named Abai.
Abai or Abi?
Abai, I believe.
Okay.
This is how it's written.
I'm afraid that might be the bad translation into English from Abby.
Is it?
Well, we'll have to listen to here, but what does Abby mean anyway, or Abby?
My father.
My father. Yeah. So perhaps you'd like to dedicate this song to your father, or any father?
To all the fathers in the world.
How nice. And that goes out from Ahmed Yud. The song is Abi or Abai. We're going to find out about listening to the song, how she says it.
Let's do it.
And it's right here on KZSU 90.1 FM, coming to you from Stanford University. This Thursday and every Thursday, I am with you from 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. DJ Ramsey, the show, Haiki Faksaba. Special guest in the studio today, Ahmed Q. And an exclusive interview with Tanya Saleh will continue in the second part of my show, right after we hear from Amal Murqus.